Hello, this is Jill here from Reading in Berkshire on another grey day. Very still here. The trees aren't moving and the cloud seems to be sitting about 3 feet above the trees, which is very grey. So I was on Facebook today and I was talking in inverted commas to somebody on one of the pages there. They got me thinking and I thought, well, maybe I should commit some of my thoughts onto a podcast. And this podcast is to do with where this Feldenkrais inspired, if you like to call it that work fits into what's going on at the moment in 2016 in the UK. So a little bit of history for those of you who don't know a great deal about Feldenkrais's work. If you look back to one of the original podcasts that I put up, which was the introduction to Feldenkrais, or if you have the opportunity to read the chapter in the book that I wrote, which is, I don't know if it's even still in print now, but I can send you a copy if you're interested, in the Complementary Therapies for Physical Therapists. It was published quite a number of years ago now. But it gives quite a simple overview of the method. So if you're somebody who has never, ever, 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 ever been to a Feldenkrais class, and you're somebody who's never, ever, 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 ever experienced a Feldenkrais one-to-one lesson, what on earth would you think about this stuff? What would you think when you first came to it? And I would say that it's probable that you would think much the same as I did when I first came across the work, which is way, way back, more than 26 years ago. And that is that I really did not understand what on earth the purpose and function of these lessons were for, what they were all about, and what I was meant to get out of it, or what the claimant or client in this case was meant to get out of it. So let's talk a little bit about how some of this work's evolved and what it actually is now in comparison to what it was years ago. So years ago, when Moshe Feldenkrais, because his Feldenkrais method obviously comes from the name of the man who came up with these concepts, these ideas, this way of working with the body and himself and yourself, really. At the time when he was coming up with this work, the areas of Esalen, which is a community over in the States, the Esalen, Esalen, for want of a better way of, if you want to look it up, you can find out about it. That area, that was full. It was like a honeypot, if you like, a sweet spot for anybody interested in personal growth, personal development. And think, this is the 1970s. And the 1970s was a really interesting time. You know, I was a child of the 1970s, and I remember, you know, the mini, midi, maxi skirts, the flowing beads, the sort of hippie styles, the sort of, you know, just the way things were. It was a very expressive, creative time where people were encouraged to think laterally, and Feldenkrais was around a lot of people, and in 1972 he was invited to teach at Esalen, and he's got I've got details of a whole series of workshops, a workshop that he ran in 1972 when he trained, I think it was 5 weeks. And he had the chance to train this group of people. Now, what's interesting is to think about what kind of people might have been there. So, you know, if I think of where I'm based in Reading in Berkshire, it's a bit of a suburb of London, really, I suppose. It's about 28 minutes by train from here to Paddington. It's probably not the epicentre of deep discussions about psychology and philosophy. You know, we have shops like, I don't know if you've heard of it, Primark, which is the most amazing shop because they sell, you know, six pairs of socks for £2.50 and things like this. And it's got the most amazing number of pound shops in it that you can consider, but it doesn't have a huge theatre, dance, artistic, creative background. The university here is a Quaker university, so there are only certain, well, it was originally a Quaker university, so there are only certain sort of subjects that are studied here. But then if you go up the road to Oxford, of course, you go up to a completely different environment. And if you go into London, you go to a different environment. But if I was to run a group here, let's say in Reading in Berkshire, and I was to advertise what I was going to do, it would be very interesting to find out or to think about what sort of groups of people there are going to be coming forward, because I'm not living next door to, you know, 20 different people who practice manufacturing their own pots and writing their own books and researching and dancing and being expressive. So it's this kind of work is the kind of work that we need to think about in terms of the society, of the group of people that we're putting this work out to. So in the 1970s, Feldenkrais himself would have been on a journey, and he would have been producing this work, and he would have had the opportunity to be working in Tel Aviv producing these training courses for groups of people who had gone, who'd chosen to go to live there, who wanted to make a new life. And, you know, these would have been Jewish people, and I'm assuming, because Feldenkrais was Jewish, that when he came to England, he made contact with other Jewish people, and he knew other Jewish people. And in fact, you know, in general, I find that people who come from that particular cultural background, religious background, have a big interest in what they're going to contribute to society as they're alive and how they're going to develop and work with society. So the work itself was couched in a form of self-development and exploration, and this was really in parallel with what was going on in those days. Now, if we fast forward to when I first started my training as a physiotherapist back in 1974, and I was based in the East End of London, and I completed a very expansive, all-encompassing, encouraging, supportive training where we were really it was promoted that we think about each person as an individual, all of this new wave 2016 stuff about psychosocial effects on health. Well, guess what? We were doing it years and years ago. If people came in and they'd, you know, they were depressed, upset, sad, they'd had a bereavement, they had no money and the rest of it, we realized that this was going to have a massive effect on them, and we knew that we were working with the whole person. So in parallel, I was training in the East End of London, and up in the north of London in 1974, at exactly the same time that I went and started my training, guess what? There was a centre in London, and it was called the Quaisetor Centre. Now, Quaisetor means seeker, and in 1974, Moshe went to London, or he came to London to conduct a four-week what's called public workshop for the Quaisetor Centre. Now, it's called a public workshop, but again, you know, let's put this in the realistic context. Feldenkrais has taken his work. He's worked in Esalen. He's worked in Tel Aviv. He's worked there, and then he's come over to the UK. And this northern part of London is an area very close to an area called Golders Green. And I love it because it's full of Jewish people who live there. And not just Jewish people now, it's a hugely multicultural society. You sit on a bus, and I'll be the only person with blue eyes on the bus, with ginger hair, and you know, most other people have got brown eyes, brown hair, and the different languages that people are talking. It's hugely multicultural, and going up into northern parts of London, you've got huge areas of interest in theatre, dance, music. Feldenkrais came over here, and he actually did this what's called public workshop based from this centre, which actually would have probably been a public workshop to a group of people who had huge, huge interest in personal development, personal growth, And they would most likely, some of them would have been, and it says in my book here, or I read somewhere the other day, some of them were actually involved in teaching some of the humanistic psychology. So they were very interested in body work. They were very interested in body psychotherapy. This was a group of people who were involved in developing some of the body psychotherapy methods, which have now gone on to be recognised and registered by the British Psychological Society. Now, so this isn't just a group of people, such as the people that you might meet if you happened to wander down to Reading, in the centre of Reading, or people who go to Primark. These are a group of people who have a particular interest. So it's a bit like taking a training course in self-development to a Buddhist centre, where people are very interested in self-development. He took this training to a four-week training in London, not to where I was, not to the East End, not to where I was doing my course in health, but he took his training straight in, specifically into this group of people. So this, using this work within this context, in a way gives us some sort of a bit of depth of understanding about how this work actually fits within what it is that we do. So I hope you're all with me so far. Sorry if I'm being a bit vague, but this isn't scripted. So when we are using the work in 2016, we have people who have completed what I call a four-year basic training. Now, the four-year basic training is essentially an experiential training. Experiential meaning that it's all done through experiencing. People do a lot of floor work, floor movement sequences. They have hands-on lessons and they learn how to do hands-on work with other people. When they come off at the end of the training, what they've actually done is they've been through a process, a deep process of self-development. So they have gone on the training because they're interested in the work, they're interested in developing themselves, they're interested in finding out how they can use themselves in a different way. They complete this four-year program of 40 days a year, and at the end of it, and I know certainly when I did my master's degree research and I did it in depth into individuals' perceptions of self-change after they came through a training, what they were all reporting to me was these aha moments that got them into the training in the first place, the thing that fitted with where it was that they were at the time. So the person who was a performer reporting that she'd noticed huge changes after completing some warm-up training with a particular person who was trained in the Feldenkrais work, or an occupational therapist reporting a difference in her attitude towards somebody because of the way that it was suggested she work by a tutor on her course. And this was a recurrent theme. So what people were reporting was reports in their own lived experience. So why is this really important? Well, it's important in 2016 because we have a different kind of world these days. Yes, we still have groups of people living in certain areas who are interested in self-development. But we also have this huge boundary between self-development and therapy and treatment and medical. And I think that boundary has become thicker and more solid. I don't think it's become more transparent. And I think actually the health system in this country is actually becoming more entrenched into reducing things down into medical conditions, social conditions, age-related conditions. It's not opening up very much. So when you are considering how you could make some changes, what is important is to ask yourself, what would I like to learn about what's going on, and how much do I want to be involved in my own journey with whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. So when you go to sea or you want to make some exploration and find out about this work called Feldenkrais, this is a way of working. It is an approach to helping people solve problems. It is not a treatment. So you will not get treatment for your back pain if you go to see a Feldenkrais method practitioner. You will get simple suggestions made, either through touch to your body to remind it about ways it could remember to move if it wanted to, or in class. And this process is choreographed by the person who is working with you. Now, the person working with you is not a medical professional, unless, of course, like me, they've got medical qualifications. I'm Healthcare and Professions Council registered, and we'll come to all of that in a minute. But if somebody has completed, let's say they are, they've got a degree in art history, let's say, and they've got a master's degree in, movement dance or something similar, but they've never actually qualified to a national qualifications framework in any particular area. So they've not actually got the qualifications to be a teacher, so they can't teach. They're not actually qualified to be a therapist, so they can't do therapy. They're not actually qualified to be an exercise teacher, so they can't do exercise. They're not actually qualified within the healthcare industry, so they can't actually work in care. What they are is someone who can still work with you to enable you to learn how to do something. So the way I would describe this is that, let's supposing you want to learn how to do something in depth. Now, whether that be knitting or, driving a car or sawing down a branch in the garden, looking out of the window, or anything, then you will almost certainly go to see somebody who has got the skills to enable you to be able to achieve what it is that you want to achieve. Now, that doesn't mean that that person is going to work with you as a therapist, because what you're doing is you are choosing to go off and do the explorations yourself. So the person who makes the shift and change is you. So if I think back to many years ago when I decided that I wanted to learn how to not have so many thoughts racing around in my head, I went off and learned how to meditate. And at first I couldn't do it at all. And I had a really good teacher. She was really good at taking me through the steps and stages to enable me to learn how to do what it was that I wanted to learn how to do. Well, once I'd learned how to do it, then obviously I went off and I did it by myself. I have 4 dogs, and I train my dogs in agility, which is where you run around fields and they jump over jumps and things. And I go to see various people who are very good at doing this, and they also give me instruction. They teach me what to do. And the more I learn what to do, the more I realise that I have got so much more to learn. But it's up to me to go away and put into practice those things. Now, in those cases, those particular people didn't need to have qualifications, if you like, as medical professionals or exercise teachers or whatever, because what they were doing was they were acting as someone who was enabling me to learn something that I wanted to learn. And this is really where the Feldenkrais, the people who've completed the basic 4-year Feldenkrais training, this is where they sit. And I think this is a very important role that they can provide. However, it doesn't mean that you can say that the Feldenkrais work is a solution to back pain, or the Feldenkrais work is a solution to balance problems, or whatever. What we can say is that of the huge group of people who have back pain, of those people, the small percentage who have no malignancy, no underlying pathology, no internal problems with organs or metabolic problems or anything else going on that needs to be checked medically. Of those people, of that small percentage of people who then decide that they want to take action and go off and discover for themselves how they can learn how to do something differently, a percentage of those people will then find going off and learning how to use themselves differently with the support and guidance of somebody who has done some of this training, they will find it to be of benefit. So, and I think this is very important because I feel that there are a lot of people out there for whom the idea, the notion that there must be something else that they can do which could possibly help them in some way, it's out of their reach. But of course, the idea that this is a medical treatment, that we are treating problems, is wrong, because this is about the person, much like the groups of people that Feldenkrais ran his workshops to in 1972 and 1974. These were people who were already on a path and on a journey. And I would say 100% of the people who come to see me are already on a path and a journey. They've probably explored what is available to them free through the NHS, let's say in the UK, and it's not really free because we all pay into it, but what's available to them without any charge. They've possibly gone off and tried various different things. And they are willing to input time, energy and effort to carry on looking to see if there's something they can do for a reason, for a goal. They've got some sort of goal that they're working towards. So if you're looking for a Feldenkrais, for a person to work with you, I think the key and critical thing is to think about what it is that you want to learn for yourself. For example, would you like to learn how to move around without so much difficulty? And I won't say without so much pain, but without so much difficulty. So, you know, how to be able to roll over and sit up in a slightly different way. And that might mean that it becomes easier for you to do. Would you like to learn how to use your voice in a different way? Let's say you're a singer and you'd like to discover how to produce your voice in a different way. That might be something that a teacher could work with you on. It's physically a lot of it is about making shifts and changes. And I think that the key thing is, what is it that you want to learn? Because you could go and see a dozen different people who've completed a Feldenkrais 4-year experiential self-development training, and they will have their own background, much like Feldenkrais did himself, and much like all those people did who went off to these workshops. So in another podcast I'm going to explain to you where my background is and how I work, because I will tend to work with certain kinds of people. I don't work necessarily with performers. So I will work with top level athletes, but they are usually the ones who know, but they know what they want to achieve. So I hope this has been helpful, and I hope I've made myself clear, and I'm going to save this just as it is. And if you have any questions, queries or whatever, then please put a message up afterwards and it'll be put up to me and I can reply to you. And thank you for listening to this, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Take care.